Welcome, all you plus two comedy modifiers, back to the stream. Welcome to Stay Doomed Live, which means I have to do a different intro. Greetings, grave robbers, and welcome back to the television graveyard. I am your TV necromancer, TV's Noah Houlihan. We have gathered here live on Twitch here tonight to dig up the bodies of past television shows to see which ones could be resurrected, should be resurrected, and which ones should stay doomed. This is a podcast where we analyze the history, the hype, and the aftermath of past television shows that ran one season or only one episode. I am here alone. A lot of interesting things going on in Stay Doomed Studios right now, and I'm just going to be honest with you. We're in trouble. We had some troubles this week. Laura is once again out of commission, so I have to go at this alone, and I had absolutely no time to record this podcast. So I'm doing it when I'm usually streaming on Twitch, which means what I've decided to do is unannounced review a TV show that nobody's seen. I don't think this is going to be a high interactive experience. I've not promoted it. I didn't tell the patrons who could be here right now, but again, it's not like they've seen what I'm about to review, so oh well. The plan was we were going to review a show called Blitz Happens, the story of Ricky Blitz attempting to sell the Cameron Diaz show to Fox. This is a show that we got together and me and Laura did watch, and Laura has a lot of things to say about it, but unfortunately cannot be here right now. So I was just going to review that, and then I figured that's not fair to her, to not give her a chance to talk about things. So I watched something independently. I tried to find something that I didn't think Laura would enjoy, because I've done things alone, like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and the Blood Drive episodes, because I knew Laura would not enjoy it. So I tried to find something scary, and I couldn't find anything like really horror-related. And then I tried to find something like kind of like gross to see if there was something that, you know, Laura would not usually want to be a part of. And I found, after minimum research, Psycho Ferret, which it looks like this. There it is, Psycho Ferret. If you look here, it should be a very similar-looking art style if you're known to be watching Nicktoons. This is created by Classy Klupso, which I'm sure I'm saying wrong. These are the same folks that created the Rugrats, Ah, Real Monsters, Duckman, and Wild Thornberries. So this is just a little pilot for Psycho Ferret. So let's just jump right into this. If you're watching live, there's not going to be clips because I don't have that technology nor the time to attempt such technology. But if you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening to the audio podcast, you'll get fun little clips from the show Psycho Ferret. So the beginning of Psycho Ferret looks a lot like a PC video game.
Since the beginning of time, human beings have sought the companionship of household pets.
This came out in, I want to say, early 2000s, this show? Yeah, this came out in 2000. And this is right at, like, the age of when there was a lot of just, like, those shareware kind of PC games where it was animated sort of, like, it was a lot of, like, PNGs just kind of moving on the screen. That's what the opening to this is, and it gives the history of pets. And it zoomed past a joke that I thought was very interesting, which was,
Cleopatra ruled over Egypt with her sacred cats by her side. Well, until the pet snake arrived.
This is a reference to the fact that Cleopatra was killed by an asp, which I thought was an interesting reference to throw in right at the beginning of this children's cartoon. And this is basically explaining the history of the town that they live in. They live in a town. Our main characters, the Swill Twins, great name, They live in a town where pets are outlawed.
An immense pet industry spans the globe. Everywhere, that is, except Independence Meadows, a neighborhood where animals are not allowed. No doggies, no kitties, and especially no 5-pound furballs.
But they have a ferret. But not just any ferret. A psycho ferret. So we jump right into it, which is something I really enjoy. A lot of the times, we've covered so many pilots here, and they spend so much time establishing the concept of the show that we never actually get to see what the show is, if that makes sense. Where I could see another version of this where the pilot is all just establishing, like, pets get banned in this town. The two girls find a ferret. They fall in love with it. They decide to keep it. Like, we skip all of that. We already live in a world where these girls have a ferret in this town. I think that's great. I think it's great that we're jumping right in. This isn't a complicated concept to try to get across. No pets, but they have one. Done. Doesn't need to be a full half hour explaining that. So we jump right into this. The twins I have problems with, so that's why I'm already, like, getting upset. Jackie and Jill Swill. And first off, they're twins. Jill Swill, such a great name. Jackie Swill, not as good. Like, I almost think it should be Bill. It should be Bill and Jill Swill instead of having two girls, which actually is another major problem. These two girls, I understand that they're twins, but they look so similar, but they have very different personalities. Like, one's a bit sillier and one's a bit more, like, analytical. And, like, they do have different outfits, and their hair is styled the same, but, like, one is frizzy and one is, like, well-kept. Yeah, they could have done something design-wise that would have been stronger. But we start with these girls playing with the ferret. The one girl is pushing Psycho Ferret in a bassinet. And Jill comes in and says,
Jackie, our ferret's wearing a dress. This can't be good for his self-esteem.
And I thought by 2000 we had moved past this Nickelodeon joke. And here's a little history of Nickelodeon you didn't ask for. But the Nickelodeon, style of comedy, like, not to get into, like, the Dan Snyder problems, but I'm going to for a little bit. There was a few things that was always hilarious in Nickelodeon. One, cheese. Just cheese. Just saying the word cheese. Very funny. He tried to steal my cheese. Like, something like that. Hilarious. Pants. The word pants. Very funny. There's a whole bit on all that where they celebrate the 1 millionth pants and cheese joke. Stinky feet, which now we're getting into that Dan Snyder thing and all this other stuff. And finally, the idea of wearing a dress. If you watch, there's a fantastic YouTube show called Knickknacks. Or Knickknacks is the name of the show. The channel's called Pop Arena that I highly recommend. They do a show where they cover every Nickelodeon show in chronological order. Like, all the way back to, like, the Silver Ball days, just every single thing that has aired on Nickelodeon, they have a YouTube video about. And one of the things they cover is, you can't do this on television. You can't do this on television. The creator of the show had this thing that he, like, would do on all the shows that he worked on, where he would threaten to punish actors by writing scenes where they have to wear a dress. So the idea of a boy wearing a dress being embarrassing was like a common Nickelodeon joke. It was like something that they had established in You Can't Do This on Television, and it would pop up on other shows just because Nickelodeon would have, like, similar style humor. So seeing it here, you know, kind of turns me off of, like, oh, the ferret's in, it's a ferret in a dress. In any case, I do want to talk about style here, though, because you'll see that this entire show is very drab. But if you look at the way that the show is composed, it's very drab. A lot of grays, a lot of browns, a lot of white, and a lot of black. And the only thing that's colorful is the ferret himself. Psycho Ferret is like a bright red. So there's this nice kind of visual storytelling of how this town that has banned pets is drab and boring without pets. But the actual pet is a bright red color, showing how like bright and exciting it is. Also, it makes the ferret stick out as something that doesn't belong in this drab town. Some good like visual storytelling here that I really do enjoy. The girls are then arguing over whether or not this ferret should wear a dress, and Fletcher shows up. Fletcher will be our antagonist. And Fletcher is a gross, fat boy. And that's just basically his entire characterization, is that he's gross and they don't like him. I think it's a mistake to have his name be Fletcher, which is too close to the word ferret, in my opinion. You could have picked something a little bit more contrast to what is supposed to be the protagonist, but I digress. Fletcher wants to play with the Swill twins and tries to impress them by blowing a snot bubble.
Hey! You want a present? Do you like bubbles?
And not only does he blow a snot bubble, but he's able to blow a snot bubble into another snot bubble. And the twins are, of course, grossed out by this. But Psycho Ferret wants to eat it for some reason. I don't know why, but is immediately licking his chops, wanting to eat this snot bubble. So they have to contain the ferret and then eventually make Fletcher run away. This will be basically the only characteristic we get for Psycho Ferret, is that he likes gross things. We then get what is basically the best scene of the show. Fletcher rats on an old woman for having a dog. And the police come and arrest her. And she tries to pretend like she doesn't have a dog, but she does, so she gets arrested. Fletcher gets a dollar for telling his father, who is a police officer, that this old woman has a dog. So they tip him because he ratted her out and did what's good for the city and kept the law in order. And then Fletcher says,
"A rule's a rule, Ma."
"Bye-bye, Grandma! Can it, you little snitch!"
And she goes off to jail. So this is meant to show a lot of character development for Fletcher here. Okay, so maybe he's not just gross. He's also greedy. Because he's willing to sell out his own grandmother for a dollar. So this is meant to kind of raise the stakes of, like, Fletcher cannot be trusted, despite the fact that he really wants to hang out with the Swill sisters. And, like, if they get caught, it means prison. This is a lot of, like, show don't tell. So, like, I have kind of, like, high hopes for this show at this point. What do you know? The ferret gets away and ends up in Fletcher's house. So now we have to go to the belly of the beast to retrieve our ferret friend. And what then takes place is like a comedy of errors where the girls see the ferret, but they're constantly making sure Fletcher doesn't see it and Fletcher's parents don't see it. So they decide they are going to play a game of hide. Not hide and seek, just hide. The girls are going to count to 300. And Fletcher's going to hide. This is their plan to keep Fletcher out of things and occupied so that they can get their ferret back. Which leads to, throughout the rest of the show, them counting to 300, which I think is very funny. is like, they're like, we got to find this ferret. All right, I'll look upstairs, you look downstairs. 12? All right, let's meet back here once we establish anything, think if we find anything. 13? This is a fun little bit. And it will continue throughout the show that they will just yell numbers to keep Fletcher hiding. It's a fun bit. For some reason, we see Fletcher's ass. I don't know why. The girls then run down the hallway and they find ferret poop. They're like, look, droppings, ferret. Psycho's nearby. It's like, okay. They're expert trackers now. And they're like, all right, we have to destroy the evidence. And then they just like step on it and like mush it into the carpet. So I'm like, okay, they're going for like gross out humor here, I guess. And then they yell a number, which is funny. They split up looking for Psycho. One of the sisters ends up near Fletcher's father, who's on the toilet. Like, he opens the door and he's like, where's the toilet paper? And we just see like this gross old man sitting on a toilet. And that's the joke. Meanwhile, the other sister is in the kitchen with Fletcher's mother. And there's like some bits where she sees the ferret, but the mother does not. And the ferret's knocking things over and she's catching it and like acting like it was a present that she brought over. Common like cartoon hijinks. The ferret then eventually runs into Fletcher's room. And Fletcher doesn't like that they're in their room. That's off limits. Or as he likes to say,
hey, my room is off limits. O-F-F limits!
Which I don't understand if that's a joke, spelling the word off, but they do. I should also mention that the twins pick the lock of the door to get into Fletcher's room. Which means, one, Fletcher locks his bedroom door before he leaves, which is weird for a child. And two, the children know how to pick locks. So, I don't know, they're rogues, I guess. They burst into this room. The room is full of, like, horse statues. And this is a common thing throughout the entire episode that I don't understand. There are animal statues everywhere. So there's this weird feeling like everyone in the town likes animals, but they're not allowed to have pets. I don't know why they decided for that like distinct choice, but that's what they do. The ferret rips apart one of Fletcher's favorite toys. Fletcher gets very, very upset. They're about to like have a huge confrontation, and as Fletcher's yelling, the snot bubble comes back up. This forces Psycho Ferret to, of course, want to eat it, so it jumps onto Fletcher's face and just starts, like, licking it like it's a lollipop. Gross. The girls really start to panic, and they don't know what to do, so one of them opens a window and just yells, "Fetch!" and hawks a loogie out the window. And Psycho Ferret's like, great! Jumps out the window, happens to land in the bassinet, and that rolls away. Again, why is the ferret so gross? And like, the fact that she knew that that would work means that, like, I don't know, she's made out with the ferret? I don't know what's going on here. But they spit it.
Fetch!
Fletcher's like, that bad kitty ripped up my favorite toy. And the sisters are like, well, we gotta leave. So they leave. And the conflict, of course, is now, is Fletcher going to rat on the sisters? And the sisters turn it around and say,
your dad's not gonna be very happy that you have a kitty, Fletcher.
Huh?
We'll let you off easy this time, Fletcher, but you're going to have to be nice to us from now on or else we're telling.
And Fletcher's too stupid to do anything. Goes, okay. And then, I don't know why this is the end of the show. The girls get away with it. And they're wheeling back the bassinet that has Psycho Ferret in it. And Fletcher yells,
okay, you want to blow my whistle?
And, like, that's the end line. And, like, Fletcher had a whistle, but, like, this is a blowjob joke, right? I mean, I know that reference from Dance Dance Revolution.
Blow my whistle, bitch!
Yeah, everyone know that song? I'll cut it in, and then it'll get striked on YouTube. Anyway, a very weird ending to this, to end on something like this, and I immediately was like, who was this for? Because my initial reaction to this is too crass for Nickelodeon. But it's not, like, crass enough for, like, an Adult Swim or, like, an MTV. Because it's still the story of children. Like, if this wasn't for Nickelodeon, why have it star, like, a ferret? Why have it be about children dealing with children's problems? If this is more for an adult audience, why are we using children as the main character? That's not going to appeal to an adult audience. And for kids, like, it's just gross out humor, and, like, this is post, like, Ren and Stimpy, and post Real Monsters, post Rocco. So maybe that's, like, they're trying to fit in this new kind of, like, gross out, semi-adult offering for Nickelodeon. But if that's what they want it to do, I don't know why they didn't spend any time making Psycho Ferret interesting. And I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about the character of Psycho Ferret. Psycho Ferret is the titular character and has top billing on IMDb, was voiced by, where is it? Was voiced by D. Bradley Baker, despite the fact that Psycho Ferret has no lines. It's just, I mean, I could do that. I just did it. So the fact that we're building this cartoon around this character that doesn't talk, they didn't do anything to make Psycho Ferret special, to make it clear to the audience why it's important for these girls to risk everything, to risk prison, to protect their ferret. Other than that, the girls themselves are a bit eccentric. I think that is a very missing ingredient in this whole thing. Is the ferret is very much just a ferret. Like, this isn't like a Doug Porkchop situation where, you know, Porkchop had, like, personality and, like, wants and goals. And, like, if this was done again with Porkchop, just for argument's sake, Porkchop would understand the situation he was in. And, like, when Porkchop would see, like, Doug, he would, like, plead, like, I'm trapped in here, help. Psycho Ferret's completely oblivious to anything going on and is just entirely in charge of just doing what it wants and has no idea the stakes or the danger that he's in or the girls are in. There's not even anything that established that Psycho Ferret likes the girls. The opening incident of this cartoon is a debate from the two sisters on what is best for the ferret. So the opening from this is that two girls own this ferret, and one of them is treating the ferret incorrectly. It's arguable which one is not treating the ferret correctly, but that shouldn't be your opening, like, introduction to this character. If we're supposed to care about this character and care about these girls, is starting with this argument without establishing what makes the ferret great. So that's my main problem with this. So I did a little bit of research, and this was a Nickelodeon production. This was a pilot for Nickelodeon. If you look at the art style of this, it is very reminiscent of like a Wild Thornberrys or an Ah Real Monsters. But their pupils are all crescent moons. And I know that reminds me of something, but I can't quite place it. Like, what cartoon are their pupils crescent moons? Like, I thought maybe it was Duckman. Duckman, they're kind of like ovals. So I thought maybe that's what it was like invoking in me. Or maybe it's like old school 30s cartoons. Because I can also see like in my mind's eye, I see someone repeating this motion with crescent moon pupils. But I thought that was an interesting choice. It definitely made it stand out as something like different from anything that you've seen, even though it is very similar and obviously created by the same creators that created Ah Real Monsters and Rugrats and Wild Thornberrys. In the way that everybody's designed, it does seem to fit nicely in that world. If we wanted to do like a crossover episode, might be difficult with Rugrats, but I think you could do a crossover episode with like As Told by Ginger, no problem, or Wild Thornberrys, no problems. Actually, Ah Real Monsters as like another pet that comes in. That would have been interesting. Overall, my feeling towards this is that this cartoon was fine. Like, I have some nitpicky things that I mentioned. It's not really for me. But overall, it functions correctly as a cartoon and does all the things. I wish they established more of the character, but there's not a glaring issue with this. But nothing about this makes me think, I need to watch more of this. This felt really contained. Like, it's the story of them almost getting caught with a ferret. How many times can you do that story? Is it just going to be like, oh, now we're having a birthday party and people are over at our house and oh no, they're going to see the ferret. Oh, let's go to school. Oh, the ferret's in our backpack. Now let's hide the ferret while in school. Like, is that just going to be the only thing that happens, is trying to hide the ferret? It doesn't seem like this show has legs. It's a fine show. Like, it's successful in this episode. But would I, like, during a commercial break, because you know how Nicktoons are like 2 12-minute cartoons. During the commercial break, I would look for something else to watch. Because I feel like this pilot gave me everything that this show had to say. And I don't see where you could continue this idea. So I can't believe I'm making this comparison. But along the lines of Over the Garden Wall, I feel like I have to give this a Stay Doomed rating because it tells a complete story. I don't want any more. I don't need to tune into another one of this because basically every episode is just going to be more of this. So that's going to do it for Stay Doomed here at Stay Doomed Studios. Sorry for this very strange live stream. This could have worked as a concept if I had like said, hey, watch this and then come back and we'll talk about it live on stream. But instead, it's just me talking about a show no one's seen. That works great as a podcast. I hope people who listen and watch this. It's very hard to interact when I'm just giving a monologue here. But thank you so much for joining me. Next week, the plan is to do Blit Happens. It won't be live on Twitch. Lara will be here. We'll record it as normal, and it'll go up on time, in theory. We're having a bit rough go of it. WrestleMania week's coming up, and we're booked as hell. So get excited for WrestleMania week. Yay! It's not going to be WrestleMania week at Stay Doomed, but I'm just letting you know I'm tired. So yes, check out Blit Happens if you want to do your homework for next week. If you enjoy the show, check out patreon.com/plus2comedy and you can support us on Patreon. We'll get back to normal next time. If you want to talk to me, I'm at plus2comedy on Twitter. If you have a show that you don't think Laura will like if you want me to do something alone. Maybe we'll try this concept again and I'll actually send out the show early. And this way we can have a conversation and it'll be a more interactive Stay Tuned. I think this has legs. I think the idea of doing the show live has legs, and we'll see if we can make that happen in a more convenient and structured way. But until next time, stay tuned.